I have to say something. Mm-hmm. For the people that dressed up as baby, no one actually looked innocent. So I feel like they didn't capture that. For Jerry, no one was voluptuous, which was Jerry's trademark. And then for Scary, no one really captured that like badass black girl energy, which I think
the energy,
that Scary
yeah,
always
right,
had.
For the Scary Spice looks. Yeah.
Even though, I mean, and now Vanity's that I think about Scary it, was Tiger with a corset over it, honey. I just want to be too hard on anybody.
I just think that they didn't really capture what each Spice Girl's energy was, and no one did posh.
Nobody was posh.
Attention, calling all whispering hunties. Oh, crrr.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Mijan, a semi-drag race expert.
And I'm Nick. I never watched it before, until now.
And together, we are Whispering Hunties. We're a podcast about global queer culture and drag race.
Check us out wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, Nick.
Hi, Mijan.
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing okay. Just nursing this ankle of mine.
I know. I'm so sorry that you're injured. I had a fall the other day, and you know, it's hard to believe that we're so fragile, but we are. And,
I know, honey. Your body will remind you.
I know, but you are a valuable commodity, so please take care of yourself and get an air cast. I've been trying to say that all afternoon.
Thank you.
But we do have two fabulous guests today, the first of which is Sunshine Little Child. Mm-hmm. She was a baby drag queen over the pandemic, but now she's a teenager. And since her last appearance on Whispering Hunty, she's hit puberty. And now she is...
We stand a puberty queen.
I know, puberty queen. Now she's spreading love, sparkle, and sunshine around the local Ottawa scene by diving into local drag competitions. In 2021, she did the Ottawa Pride Pageant and the main stages, and she started hosting her own pop-up shows at her favorite local venues. Sunshine is excited and inspired to continue her journey and growth and keep elevating her looks and performances to earn her spot on Canada's Drag Race one day. Or maybe international. Who knows? Hey. Oh, and she's starting yoga teacher training soon. So we're going to get an extra little special stretchy death drop split house boots eleganza up there in Ottawa up north.
And we have our other guest. We are just jam-packed today. Wig Zaddy. Tattoos, talent. And an accent? Yes, please. Imported from England, Ashley is the bad boy hair artist who owns and operates the lush wig company, Wig Zaddy. Not only does he fit world-famous drag performers with fabulously posh postiches, his work in critically acclaimed TV shows has also garnered him several awards. With an eagle's eye, Ashley sends you out with a tight lace and hair always in place. Never forget, Zaddy knows best.
Oh yes, Zaddy does. We couldn't even end the podcast because Zaddy was just giving us hair tips, and I was just like, "Oh my god!
What valuable guests we have in our wonderful Hunties family!" And we've got a jam-packed episode, back to two episodes with UK Drag Race Season 3, Episode 4, Canada's second season premiere.
I know, just so much to discuss. It's out of control. But that being said, this is why we love the podcast. Exactly. So, without further ado, sit back, grab a snack, maybe start getting your wig and start teasing it, baby.
Oh, tease it up, baby.
And then dive into that extra special dose of Whispering Hunties.
Hey, kids, it's the Honey Leave It Show. We just want to say thank you. We just passed the 3,000 download mark, which is a big deal for a new podcast. And so we're just really, really grateful. If you've never heard of the Honey Leave It Show, it's a comedy podcast about sex. So if you like laughing and you like sex, you should come and listen to the show. If you don't like to laugh and you don't like to have sex, please don't bother. You won't enjoy it at all. The Honey Leave It Show has new episodes every Friday on Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spotify, and Apple, of course. Looking forward to seeing y'all there. Bye.
Oh my God, Nick. I am loving my 5 = 10 athletic trunks with the dragon print.
Oh, yes, Mijan. I hear you. I got my bikini briefs on right now in the neon snake print, and they feel sexy. They look amazing.
If y'all don't know, 5 = 10 was started by 5 individuals to start a company with the sole purpose of creating better underwear for all men. And now they've expanded into athleisure for women. So we have a little bit of something for everybody in the most beautiful patterns. And they want to make a difference. So for every purchase that you make at 5 = 10, a 10% donation is made to charities that they partner with.
Yeah, isn't that incredible? I mean, they really want to make a difference. Combining premium products with philanthropy is in their DNA, and it's how 5 = 10 was created. So if you support this brand, you're also supporting those charities, which is fantastic.
Oh,
and we've got another special little draw for you because we have our very first discount code.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And it's Hunties50,
yeah.
HUNTYS50. And you can use that for 50% off new arrival merchandise at 5 = 10.
I can get 50% off some expensive stuff. What?
You sure can. I mean, you're getting what you pay for, but this discount makes these fabulous high-end underwear all yours.
Look, it is Pride Month, and we are giving you what you need. So get yourself some 5 = 10 and get out there and, you know, make a friend.
Mm-hmm. And as a bonus, they look even better on the floor.
That is very true. That is very true. I've tested out the 5 = 10. I met a gentleman caller the other day, and they were very impressed with, you know, my undergarments.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. This is my first pair, and I can't wait to see who's going to see him first.
So get your underpants and get them on the floor. And happy Pride, y'all. Hunties 50, just for you. Mwah. Mwah.
Oh, my God. Is that Wig Zaddy and Sunshine Glitter Child?
Oh my God. Wow, we're getting double teamed today.
Hi, Zaddy. Hey. How are you?
Hey, bitches.
Hey, Sunshine. Or should I call you Moonshine? Remember
how Moonshine. You did that? Yeah, my evil twin.
Oh, my God.
Comes out.
Moonshine is sexy. I'm very into it. I love that you have both energies. Yeah. I didn't even think
stepping
it was you.
Out of this happy-go-lucky sunshine character sometimes, and it's fun. I like being evil.
Put a little yang on that yin.
I honestly didn't recognize you, and I was just like, wait a minute, who is this person? Is this like her friend? Like, is it like, does she have a drag daughter? But if y'all don't know, Sunshine Glitter Child has been doing a pageant series, or?
So I competed in the pageant in the summer. And then in the fall, we've started like our local Ottawa's drag race competition.
Yeah.
So it's like 3 months. That's a long fucking time. Holy shit. So
yeah,
3 months of weekly
time.
Performances. I sign up for a lot. We all do like one number each week in the theme of the week. Mm-hmm. And then somebody goes home after lip sync for your life, just like on Drag Race, instead it's in our local bar, performing for our local friends, you know?
Oh, well, that's so fun.
It's so good.
It is fun. Mm-hmm. It's so fun. Like having like this year, like now that I'm like, I've hit puberty and I'm not just a baby queen, I'm a teenager queen. I'm starting to do these, competitions, and it's really fun having like a theme like to work with and stuff. Cause you know, before I was just like, okay, what song do I feel like doing? You know? So now we have a theme, and then you can, it just challenges me to like, you know, just take my drag creativity to the next level. It's been like really fulfilling and growing, and I'm growing harder than faster now. I like it. Yeah. Nice.
Keep those challenges coming in.
Sunshine's getting a boner. She's growing.
Well, I actually think this is how drag queens grow. Like in any city that becomes like a feeder city for Drag Race, there are local competitions that are helping queens think outside of the box of their initial concept.
Totally.
And are having been like, okay, here's a theme, like just go with it. And
elevate themselves. Yeah.
And honestly, that is some of the best drag that's out there. I know that like established queens are lovely. I'm, you know, like boss events, blah, blah, blah. But when you go to like a semi-amateur space, but like everyone is just trying to bring the best of what they have to that night.
Yeah. You get one number.
It is phenomenal drag. Like phenomenal drag. I go to an amateur drag night hosted by Madeline Hatter from, what's that other show? The Boulay Brothers?
Dragula.
Dragula. So she was a Dragula contestant. And honestly, it's some of the best drag because sometimes like really good queens will come and then amateur queens will come. So you'll have like basic performance and then you'll have an epic performance. The other day, Olivia, what's it from Drag Race? Like just stopped by. Olivia Lux just stopped by.
Love looking it.
Phenomenal. And then gave us, like, she's like, I wasn't going to do a number, but I guess I'll do a number. And like, literally, like we were throwing money at the stage, screaming, like she had us like in tears. Like it was just, it was so phenomenal. And it was like, oh, that's why you were in Drag Race. We get it now. But when you see
some of the new queens surprised me a lot though. Like the ones that are even newer than me, like some of these people you've never seen before, like pulling, like, they're just putting so much into it because of the, you know, this environment and with the weekly themes and stuff. And like, it's, yeah, it's, it goes from like, you know, just a fun number to like, you know, more of like more theater-like, I guess, you know?
Yeah. And I think that when you get into a competition like that or a competition or just like a series, what happens is like, it's very similar to when you're in art school. And when back in the day, I took this like tutorial, and what they had us do was 100 pieces of art in 1 week.
Wow. And all of them were good.
Well, the point was not necessarily that they would be good. You had to get rid of all of your first ideas, right? Mm. Then the next week we did 50, then we did 25, then we did 10, and then we'd do 5.
And then
you could either do at the very end, like 1 or like 2, mm-hmm. but the point was you have to get rid of all the to get to the artistry. So of course the 100 and the 50 was like every first idea that you had that you would do in any class. But mm-hmm. by the time you got to the 5s and the 10s, you were actually mm-hmm. doing your most creative work all you had left was like what's new and fresh and exciting. And I think that that's what you get from a competition.
You've like worked through all that, gotten it all out, all the riffraff.
Which is where Moonshine popped up.
And nice. your stuff's probably really refined and stuff you're proud of when it becomes the 5, I assume, right?
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so, and how have you been doing?
Yeah, honestly, like really well. I've had the opportunity to like open for some of my heroes and meet some of my heroes on Drag Race and stuff, like backstage and stuff. And
yeah,
like
you met Jimbo.
Yeah, Jimbo and Rita Vega and and it's just so cool. Like you're there and you're like, oh my god, like I like, you know, and then you realize like we're all just this. We're all the same. We're all like humans, you know, like, like when I used to work in London in the UK at a restaurant that was like really popular for, I guess, celebrities and stuff like that. And whenever you meet people who are like, who are famous, like, once it happens enough, like you're just like, oh, like we literally are all just humans, you know? So it's mm-hmm. like, and I think in drag too, especially like everyone starts out as like local queens and stuff. So there's mm-hmm. more of a sense of that. So like, you know, it just felt, it's really nice seeing like the human and like meeting their energy, like in person, you know? So that's been really fun and validating. It's been, it's definitely been, a mental health year for me and stuff, since this is all so new for me, I'm starting to get a little bit busier with it. You know, there's like all these like highs and lows before your performances. And then after the next day, you're like tired and broken and like your skin sucks. And like, you know, so I'm trying to work through all that right now.
That's me. That goes away.
Doesn't go away. Yeah. 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 Well, I'm trying to make it go away.
I was performing for like 7 years and I would always, actually the highs kind of disappear. It's more just the lows. You're like, yeah. You're bored of being on a stage before you get on the stage. Then you do your thing on the stage and then you're bored of being on the stage and then you're bored of being in makeup and then you just take it all off and you're like, why am I doing this? Why am I even here? That may just be me, but.
So what's the solution to this? Cause that's what I'm trying to figure out right now.
My solution to staying in love with your artistry is to always do what makes you happy, not to do what brings in the money. Anyone who has ever asked me like, what's your advice for a baby queen, and I always say, don't turn it into a career. If it becomes a career, great, just don't turn it into a career. So when I first moved to Canada or Toronto specifically, one of the things I did was we have an area here called Church Street. And that basically is just marathon track. You do 12 numbers a night in a bar.
Yeah.
That for me is not what I do. I'm not a dancer. I'm not much of a performer.
That's a lot.
12 numbers. Oh my God.
Sounds like a commodification of the art form.
And it's like, it's incredible. And you see these people who are really enjoy doing that sort of thing. But for me, I like to create a number. I'm a burlesque artist at heart. Like I don't want to do 12 numbers back to back. I want to do one number.
Yeah. How many clothes can you take off?
Impact it with, you know, do something like staple my forehead and set fire to myself and all that sort of stuff.
Wow. I want to come to the show.
Yeah. That's badass.
I don't do them anymore, but like,
please start again.
The minute I sort of stopped doing that and I went back to just doing like one number a night, I was like, oh, okay, I'm back in love with it again. Like, giving yourself the space to create something, if that's what you want to do. If you want to just do marathon drag and you don't necessarily want to come up with numbers and you just want to entertain, do that. If you don't want to do that, don't do it. Don't just go for the paycheck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because eventually
that's really good advice.
Hobbies being turned into careers can be soul destroying if you sell out.
Yeah.
You got to stay true to yourself and continue to be in love with art.
We always get deep on here with you. Wigzaddy.
I like to go deep.
Or
Wigzother.
You know, sometimes referred to as Ashley, but not always. how are you doing? I'm so excited for you and call me mother.
Right.
I don't know if we could actually watch it legally in the States, but I want
you
to.
You can, yes.
How? Tell us more.
There's another streaming service that begins with an F, which I'm pretty sure you can
make. Freeform?
No, Fruit TV. So it's FROOT TV. And that's like the UK one. And then I believe you can also get it in the States on that.
Oh, Fruit TV. Oh, okay. Does that have anything to do with Kellogg's Fruit Loops?
I don't think so, no.
So in Canada, it's going to be on Out TV, right?
Yes. It was produced by Out TV. It's the first time that they've ever done one of their own TV shows. One of their own reality TV shows anyway.
So to give us some background on Call Me Mother, as far as I understand, there are drag houses that are competing against one another, right?
Yeah. So basically it's kind of like a mix between Drag Race and The Voice.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Basically the contestants turn up and then, or the artists, sorry, turn up for the first day and then they all kind of
perform,
show off themselves.
Yeah.
Not necessarily perform. There's sort of three stages to getting adopted into a drag house.
This is very cool.
I won't give that away.
Yeah, I love that. I mean,
some people get adopted in the first stage, some people get adopted in the second, some people get adopted in the third. You kind of have to go through it and then.
I love that. It's kind of, is it The Voice that does teams, right?
Yeah.
It's like Drag Race meets The Voice or X Factor.
Oh.
And yeah, what's really cool is that you're going to get like drag queens, drag kings, non-binary drag artists.
Oh my God, transgender. They're like all inclusive. I've seen about that. It's like truly, I mean, it's great too, because it kind of increases the diaspora of drag entertainment on television. Because it's, I think we're all ready for drag to stop being defined by Drag Race. Of course, Drag Race has done everything to expand it into the collective consciousness, but drag is so much more than that too. So it's great to see.
Well, Call Me Mother like sort this. Of, the premise of Call Me Mother kind of flips Drag Race on its head. Because I don't know if you saw Veronica's latest interview with Tia Coffey, where she sort of talks about Drag Race being this thing of, the people that do are the most successful on Drag Race are the people that have the most money.
Mm-hmm. And the
most access to stuff.
It's like, because
apparently you don't get the budget from them. You have to come up with it all yourself, supposedly.
100%.
Like, what the hell? What the hell?
Oh, they don't help you.
$20,000.
No.
Yeah, because it'll be Michelle on the show saying, oh, you don't need money to do drag, girl.
Yeah. Yeah,
and it's like, well, but you need money to do Drag Race. To go on the show, hello.
Even outside of Drag Race, like none of this shit's free. There's a lot of.
It's not cheap.
Like none of it is cheap. Like
I mean, 100%. Veronica Green had a year of COVID with no resources, where she wasn't working, and then she was invited back to Drag Race, and then she had to make all the outfits in 2 weeks. Wow. So,
and the season was filmed months later.
So if you. Like just a couple, just very, very soon after. So if you look at like the quality of her costumes from, you know, season one to season two to season three, you can see that she had less money.
Yeah.
Well, what are you doing on the show? Just tell us what you're doing on the show.
That's exactly what I'm getting at. I don't know how much I can say about that.
Damn it. Okay.
Basically, as the trailer shows, the drag artists are in a competition in which they don't necessarily have to spend a lot of money or bring a lot of drag. And there is a salon crew, being myself and Lucinda Mew, on the show.
Oh my God. Whoa. So you're going to help? Are you going to help them a little bit? Like, and show them some tips and tricks? Maybe?
Show them a little
tease. You can't say it.
I can't necessarily say it, though.
I was overjoyed to see your face on TV, just like, weird, hey girls, this is what, I know, it was so weird, it was like,
I was beside myself.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God, I know him!
I screamed out loud, oh my God.
It was kind of, I've been doing, things are getting kind of weird with Wig Daddy, in terms of, like, I'm busier than I've ever been since
even
the last
busier
time.
Than when we last saw you.
I'm a lot busier than last time.
Oh my god! You need to hire an assistant.
I have one and a half now.
If you had one already, you need another one. Yeah.
Well, I've just had to take on a second one. I've had to move to a bigger space.
Don't stop.
I'm doing TV things. I work behind the screen on a lot of different other TV. Shows as well now. It's kind of getting it's uncontrollably insane, let's just say that. It's I'm chasing my tail, and every time something happens I'm just like, sure.
And for your artistry and your craft,
I know, it's kind of, yeah,
that's very cool. A lot of us would love that. That's really dope to see. It's awesome to watch you. I mean, we're big fans.
put half the money away. I wish I had half the money. but I'm just trying to say.
Well, we'd love to see it. I know it could be stressful, but that's really cool.
But sometimes it's not that everything's most lucrative, but as you're busy, it's just like you have to like remember, like, okay, when things get busy, make sure that you at least make plans for what happens if you're like less busy, right? You know?
I don't, this may sound slightly conceited. It might not.
Oh, do it, baby. I love that. You've earned it.
Oh, no. Please.
I don't think I'm ever going to get to a point where I'm necessarily going to be less busy.
Is that scary?
That's a good thing.
No, I just have to, all I have to do personally is reform the meaning of busy for me. So basically, like, I set up Wig Zaddy because we didn't have things like wig takeout. We didn't have things like bobby pins. We didn't have Wigs by Vanity. We didn't have Webster wigs. Like, if you wanted a good quality wig in Canada, you had to order it from the UK, the States, or Australia.
Yeah.
Like, good quality wigs didn't exist in Canada.
We remember.
Yeah. So, like, I filled a gap in which if a drag artist in Canada wants a wig, they no longer have to wait 3 weeks for it to be delivered. They can get it in 2 days.
Yeah.
Like, so I don't think I'm ever going to not be as busy. I'm just not going to be busy in the same way necessarily. The hope, anyway. I don't want to be styling 7 days a week constantly I am at the minute. But I just have to reform the way in which I'm busy.
You just have to say yes to, you know, whatever's going on. So questions, now that Canada's opening up, if we were to pop up north, where would we go out?
Unfortunately, the West End here in Toronto, which is kind of the, I'm using air quotes for the people that can't see what I'm doing. The alternative scene in Toronto didn't survive COVID. Or the lockdown. Right,
the Beaver is closed now, isn't it, eh?
The Beaver's gone. We had a place called Round Venue, which was somewhere I used to.
Well, that's my vibe. I love like gay divey bars or queer.
Yeah, they're all gone. They're basically all gone. We've got one new one, which is kind of slowly becoming our new home, which is a place called Sweaty Betty's.
Oh, I want to go to Sweaty Betty's.
Great name.
So that's kind of becoming our new place, but so currently you've just got Church Street at the minute.
Which is like
where's Sweaty Betty's? Where in Toronto?
Sweaty Betty's is on Ossington. It's like Queen.
Oh, okay.
Is Church Street like mainstream?
Church Street is currently because so many other aspects of drag, or the places that used to host so many other aspects of drag, didn't survive the lockdowns. Church Street is kind of becoming less mainstream, and there's kind of quite a nice mix of things happening.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of drag artists performing mainstream. They're not all mainstream drag artists, but they're doing mainstream drag because that's the space it is. That's the audience for mainstream goes to Church Street to watch mainstream. Yeah. So,
like, where would somebody go see somebody like Seance, for example?
Sweaty Betty's now, basically.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Although I don't think she's actually performed there, but.
I have to say that one of the good things to come out of the way that people had to close and open up is that bars have had to change what they do. So a lot of bars are becoming more inclusive in New York, and we have queer bars, not just gay bars. Cool. And I think that that has been quite the blessing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we'll see what happens after the war, because we're still in it, unfortunately.
Yeah, the pandemic really shook things up. And like, I noticed like, I mean, I don't know what it's like in Toronto and in New York right now, but like we're still, all of our shows are still like seated shows rather than like, maybe they've just chosen not to open up the dance floors and stuff right away at the space that I perform at. But like, there's, it's not like a dance party and then stopping for shows and stuff. Like it's all seated and stuff right now.
Oh, no, that's
the same here. Yeah, it's still the same here. If you go somewhere here, you have to sit down and do your thing.
Right.
That'll change.
Which is kind of, it's kind of cool because, I mean, I started drag in the pandemic and stuff. But I feel like when everyone's like standing and stuff.
You only started in the pandemic?
Isn't that wild?
I started at the beginning of the pandemic.
But it's been almost 2 years at this point.
I'm stunned and jealous and a little angry.
So here's my thing. It's like...
It's amazing. So you're incredible.
I have an assistant. So most of the time, whenever someone talks to me on my Instagram, they're genuinely not talking to me unless they respond to an image of my face.
Well, whoever I was talking to was so helpful, and your business is so great to work with.
With you, it was mostly me because I remember those conversations, but there's a lot of times that other people, it's not me. So. And like when I start following people, sometimes that's not me. That's my assistant that's doing.
Okay.
So I meet these people and I'm like,
lied to.
I know. I have to keep explaining to people. I'm like, I have no idea who you are. Two, how long you've been doing drag. Three, I didn't realize that wig was for you. Like,
Do you know who I am now?
I know who you are. Yeah, yeah. I think after the, because my assistant often, if I respond to someone, in between her responding, she just won't bother responding again. So the rest of the time, it was me talking to you. I remember that one. But yeah, I didn't realize it had only been that short of a time.
That's incredible. I've been steadily sprinting.
Mm-hmm.
Because I really love it. I really love it when you love something a lot. Like you're just naturally gonna like spend all your time and money on it. You know.
Yeah. Good face. Aww. So we're back. And Nick, since we have two of our friends in Canada with us today, I think we should start with Canada.
I sure can.
So could you just give us a little recap of what happened on Canada's Drag Race?
Oh, sorry. It's time for a little recap on Canada's Drag Race, if that's all right. Gloria Hole, Brown Eyewitness News here, ready to goop and gag over a new season featuring our fierce friends to the north. We've got 12 drag queens and a lot of high-pitched squealing to get through, so let's dive into the ice right away. My breaking newsworthy entrance looks were from Kimora Amor, Isis Couture, Suki Doll, and Kendall Gender. We meet our esteemed judges, drag legend Brooklyn Heights, stylist Brad Goreski, and actress Amanda Bruegel. The first challenge the queens face is a photo shoot with a twist, jumping into a flaming pit for the crown in a perfect midair shot. Suki wins the mini challenge and is granted a bunch of shoes and $2,500 in cash because they got that season 2 budget. The maxi challenge this week is a crafting challenge, and for a premiere, I'm freaking pumped. The queens must use leftover clothing items to craft a look, and Suki gets 30 seconds head start. The queens work their little hearts out, and we start to see a couple stories make their way into our hearts. On the main stage, Brooklyn gets her entire zhuzh in a gorgeous gold gown. And my favorite sewing challenge red carpet premiere looks were made by Kendall Gender, Stephanie Prince, Suki Doll, and Isis Couture. Isis wins the first challenge of the season. Eve 6000 pulls focus as Beth and Geometric are the first bottom two. They lip sync to Maneater, but which human will be eaten? We have our answer after the girls serve, and all Beths are off. Beth is the first queen eliminated, and Geometric is saved. 11 queens remain. I'm going to full focus in my life wherever I can, and that's the whole story.
Thank you. I'm not a blonde, but sometimes I get forgetful. Now, I'm just going to start us off with a topic that I think is really, really important and kind of just, I'm just very upset about it. Where the f*** is Tracy Melcher on this episode?
I know. I think you're doing an every other type of thing.
Well, I realized that at the end, but I was so angry because I've been waiting for them to finally appreciate the energy that she's brought to Drag Race. And they didn't even include a mention of her on the first episode. Like, I was like, what is wrong with you?
What I was going to say. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's just a situation where they're swapping.
All four of them? Or all three of them?
I believe.
Because there are four judges.
Plus Brooklyn.
So because
I think Brooklyn, Brad,
and then Amanda and Tracy, I think, are switching every other.
Yeah.
Which means that she's been upgraded, but also, like, they're still kind of being shady to her. And I'm like, why are you hating her?
I know. They keep teasing us with her because she's so cool.
She is a star in Canada, right?
Yeah, I think it's just a situation where they're swapping them in and out, I believe. Mm.
Okay.
Which I think Carson and Ross Matthews do. Anyway.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. Yeah.
Taking another... note from the American style of things, including the 12 queens.
I know. I just feel like Tracy's been there since the beginning. She's the only one that they're keeping besides Brooklyn. So it's like, let's just be real here. She's earned her place.
I know.
Yeah, she's wonderful. Yeah. I can't wait to see her future episodes.
At least we'll get her more than last time.
Sorry, I was just very upset. Okay, moving on. Okay, Brooklyn got her body right for season two. You could even tell when she walked into the workroom that, like, it's a whole new Brooklyn Heights. She looked like, as soon as she gets into drag, she's going to look amazing. And then as soon as she got into drag, it was like, I'm sorry, it's a competition, but Brooklyn still looks like she just won.
She had a team.
She looks
this
like
time,
computer
though.
Generated. Yeah. She looks so perfect. It's
clearly she had a team this time, right?
Total CGI.
Season one, she didn't have a team. She brought all of her own drag.
It was just her. Oh, I didn't know that.
Serious?
Yeah. So season one, so obviously, given the nature of my business, I follow like a lot of wig accounts and a lot of
clothing designers,
as well as a lot of queens. So you would see Brooklyn post a photo of her on the runway, and then you will see the wig designer and the costume designer posting the look that they created. So last season, it was sort of like them buying things, whereas now she has a team with her at Canada's Drag Race.
But that's awesome.
Building.
She's getting the RuPaul experience.
Yeah,
hey, and she deserves it.
She has a makeup artist, she has a hairstylist, and she has a costume designer there with her.
Well, this explains the glow up, because some of the outfits last season were like not good enough.
Or just not what you'd expect from perhaps a host. But now it makes sense if she had to do it all herself, because RuPaul's had the team forever. Since season one, you know. So that's good for it to step up that way. That's awesome.
I think that the first season of Canada's Drag Race, they didn't understand the importance of having a queen on the judging panel that like seemed like something to reach for. Because they were like, all the judges are equal, like whatever, like blah, blah, blah. And like it totally backfired in their face. Like they basically fired everyone except for Brooklyn at this point and Tracy.
And maybe I'm misremembering, but did this also feel a little different because Brooklyn was the one who was like doing the panel introductions or like, you know, the little bits of conversation like Rue does?
No,
they split it up.
No.
That's another good thing.
It was different. They had guest hosts. So the guest was like the host for that episode,
which was so
awkward and so stupid.
Yeah, very awkward.
And then now they're like, no, Brooklyn is the presenter.
RuPaul of Canada.
Yeah.
So
and I think what happened was like it was such an early franchise that they were trying to do things different. But now that they have all these other franchises, I feel like World of Wonder was like, whoosh, you know, like you need to have a drag host and then panelists. Yeah. And like that's the format.
It's better for the show. And Brooklyn's so good at it. So
yeah it so seems good. Like it's off to a really good start. And I really like the new judges. Brad's like kind of like feels like our like we have our like someone with the kind of like style
with
and
actual
energy.
Fashion taste.
Yeah, like he's like our little Carson. Not that they're the same or should be compared, but like I really like having that like that type of person on the panel.
Well, it's kind of similar to Drag Race España, where we had Anna Looking, and like Anna Looking is such a fashionista that we always felt like secure in her hands when she would talk about fashion.
I don't know if y'all watched Drag Race España, but I think they have the tightest judging panel of all franchises. It's cool to see the international franchises though really kind of figure out the judging panels, because sometimes after some of the things I hear like Carson and Ross say in the American seasons, they don't make sense. Or I don't know. Sometimes I think the narrative of the judgments they make has to kind of inform how the show is making decisions, and therefore kind of does a disservice to the queens because it's not necessarily honest. A lot of the international franchises, I think, are very honest and actually constructive in their
feedback. You read the Jeffrey Boyer Chapman interview?
No.
I have not read it, but I have seen some coverage about it.
He did like an expose, right?
So he after the contract ended, literally the day after the contract ended, he gave an interview in which he explained his participation in the show and what was reality versus what he thought it was going to be going into it. So he said things like when he turned up, before he first walked into the workroom, he was told that he is the eye candy of the season.
Yes, I did. I saw about this.
Oh,
And so, it's terrible. And it was like a white PA telling him this, basically.
It was a white assistant, yeah. And he was like, okay, great. Well, that originally got my guard up. So then he goes and he meets the queens, and they were like, you know, you can't fraternize with them or talk to them outside of this, but we kind of need you to be like the hot one that they want to flirt with. So that situation gets done, and then it comes to the judging panel, the first judging panel, and they walk up to him and they go, you're the sassy one.
Right.
And he initially then went, well, that's the same narrative that every black queer person gets, is they want the black queer person to be the person who is the one that speaks their mind and doesn't take bullshit and is sassy and mean.
Such a dog whistle. It's racist.
It's exact. His words exactly were, it was a dog whistle to me.
Yeah, yeah.
So then he explains that a little bit more. And then he also explains that he was told, they were given cues and negative critiques to say into the mic off screen.
Oh.
As well as they were instructed to give 3 positive critiques and 3 negative critiques. And then the production would decide which ones they would use depending on how they wanted the episode to go.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So they said good things and they just wasn't included in the edit.
Because exactly, he kept saying positive things and they were instructing him like, okay, now we need you to say mean things now.
Yeah.
And that's what they used.
Yeah.
And I also read that he was only given clearance on the first 3 episodes, like review before it would be released. Mm-hmm. And then in the other ones, he was not required to like give clearance on it. So he had no say in how he was edited in most of the episodes.
Yeah. So he actually wasn't fired either. He decided to take a job with Disney rather than come back to Drag Race.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, we all know he left.
Yeah, which is a very smart move, I think. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's playing an openly gay character on a Disney show, so that's actually pretty cool. Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah. We wish him light and love.
There's been quite a lot of behind-the-scenes tea, and I think Jimbo also did an interview. Jeffrey and Jimbo did an interview together on Jeffrey's podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Where they spoke about a couple of issues.
Because Drag Race did Jimbo dirty. Like,
well, yes. And they pitted the two of them against each other. But in this interview, they're just saying like how much they love each other and respect each other.
Mm-hmm.
And because that was like incredibly viral when the Jeffrey
the two
thing,
of them were fighting,
and you can tell that that's so not who he is as a person, because he's like a nice person. But then you can tell after getting this information that they were instructing him to be negative, and that's why he said the maybe use your time better next time, or you know what he said.
Well, it was clearly a misdirection from like of how they told them to be judges, and they changed the direction for this year, because now the judging panel is a lot more constructive and uplifting just on the first episode.
Right. It just sucks that Jeffrey and his career and all the racism on Twitter, like all that suffering happened as a result that he did not deserve at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at least it's fixed now, hopefully.
Hey, it's really hard to be a mean black person in the media because
on a gay show that white teenagers will be racist without even realizing they are.
Yeah, they're like, you're terrible, you're black, blah, 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 blah. It's awful. Okay. But let's talk about the queens, because this workroom entrance situation was insane. If I could, if Geometric screamed one more time, I was going to like throw my remote at the wall.
I know.
I swear to God. I was like, who is this Brat Pack? I they're all sickening, but like, I also was like, shut up.
it almost seems like strategic to like, Kiki when your friends that you already know arrive, because some of the shots from the other girls who weren't part of the little group that seemed to be forming, you could see on their faces they were like, oh well, who are these girls, they all know each other. And it seemed almost strategery in like, oh, let's like be a clique immediately. I don't know,
but it was like casting, right? Because they all know each other, and so they probably are all over each other's Instagrams.
From Vancouver,
and so they're literally called the Brat Pack in Vancouver.
Oh no! Oh, I didn't realize that.
They haven't. Yeah. They used to have a night together.
That's going to be a narrative right there.
The Brat Pack. Yeah.
Yeah. A 3-way lip sync.
Well, that's already the thing on social media. There's already the social media kind of publicity of you had. Was Manila part of that group?
Latrilla or something?
When it was Delta, and. Were they called the Bitter Old Lady Brigade or something?
No. Oh. It was the Heathers.
The Heathers, yeah. So you had the Heathers.
Oh, yeah.
then you had Relaska Talks, and now you have the Brat Pack.
Yeah.
And it's always, I there's always Tina that narrative. Wanted,
Tina Burner wanted herself, Gottmik, and Candy to be the mean girls, but I don't think that really played out.
Well, no, because they were kind of, only Tina was mean.
So yeah, exactly.
It didn't really work very well.
I mean, but, even when she said it, I remember Gottmik being like, what?
Yeah.
Oh, well. But, can't always get a click every season.
This click, I kind of like.
Me too. They're mostly really talented.
Because it, for me, it's because they were already an existing click. So it's not like they've come into the workroom and formed this thing. It's actually three friends that know each other.
Right.
Already from outside of things, but also.
Yeah, they're not strangers. They're like actual friends. It's like. Yeah. It's like when Raja and Delta ended up on this season together and they like actually were, they have deeper relationships with one another. So like, it's not a disingenuous click. It just seemed that way because they were screaming so much.
Yeah.
If I was on the show in the future and I saw like some of my friends, I'd be really fucking loud about it. Like,
you and Saltina so would just be like, be oh my God.
It's a secret.
Yeah, my sister there would be amazing. Oh right. My God.
Right.
Okay.
But then you got to compete against each other.
Okay. But I do have to say that I think it was Geometric's entrance look with that big coat. I was like, this is not a good entrance look. The red big coat. I was like, this is terrible. But when she took it off, I was like, there you go, honey.
Exactly. Like, that was hot. When she took it off for the photo challenge, I was like, oh, now this is the look.
Yeah.
But it's the troubling part of reveals. It should be a garment before it's revealed too. Okay.
Now, can we also talk about something that I really am so pissed off about? Why on earth are all of the like queens who are of larger size not more taken care of by production? Victoria Scone hurt her knee. Océan hurt her knee. Oh, Eureka hurt her knee. What is going on with production and not taking care of these queens' bodies? Like, if they were going to ask someone to jump off of a ledge, they should have tested it to make sure that she wouldn't fall on her knee.
Right. Or just like give the queen some kind of heads up. I don't know. Does that ruin the surprise? Because part of the comedy is that they're not ready for it.
Just give them more padding. Give them some knee braces or something.
Totally. I mean, but you could tell also like, that...
That that was gravity working against Océan's favor.
Right. Well, and sometimes, I mean, and with Océan for sure, they just seem to kind of like walk off quickly rather than jump. And I don't know how much that has to do with it. Maybe it was to avoid injury.
Well, I think if you landed flat, it was better, but still, like, that's really scary. Yeah. Like, now if I were to ever be on a TV show, I'm like, did you test that for my weight?
Right.
Yeah. Maybe there wasn't, like, enough, like, cushions in the bottom or something. Like, because I'm wondering how she would have hurt her knee, because, you know, it's a lot of, like, foam pads in that pit.
Must have been on her takeoff or something like that.
Oh,
like
maybe
No. She said when she landed, she heard something crack.
Then she have had weird positioning in her legs because it literally was foam cubes.
I know, but there weren't. But maybe there wasn't enough,
and she hit the bottom or something.
These are the same kind of pits that acrobats start learning with. Mm-hmm. So people that are learning to do backflips and stuff. The difference, I think, here. Obviously, I'm not on production, so I don't know, but I don't think they get any instruction on how to safely take off and to safely land.
Mm.
And they just sort of hand people a ledge to fall off.
Without
being like, maybe just don't twist your way like this. Don't jump like that, you know?
Or have some kind of like stunt coordinator that's on set, which I hope they do. I hope they do, because this is literally a stunt.
This is clearly,
and it would be responsible to have somebody on set just giving the girls a prep, just being like, okay, so when you do this, just even if it feels like explaining something to a child, you gotta cover your bases and just be like, okay, just make sure when you're at the end of the thing, jump like this and land like this. That's what actors on set would get. And these are actors for a TV show. So
give the queens what we need.
Yeah, but with how much we've heard queens on the show talk about how underrepresented they are on the show and like on set, kind of isn't surprising, I guess.
I mean, I'm like, I will take a water challenge forever. Jumping? No. Mm-hmm. Well, no.
Season one, their photo shoot where they like climb the mountain, turn the fan on. Perfect. No notes. Yeah. That was great.
That was really great.
I want balls thrown at my face, like the tennis ball challenge one. I know it would be really fun.
Oh, no. That one scared me because that's how I broke my ankle. Because if you trip on a tennis ball, like your ankle goes right. You know, that's
So like, there's a lot of high octane stuff on the drag race.
It's very dangerous. It is very dangerous.
I don't need any challenges to hurt myself. I can do that myself in real life.
I'll do that walking downstairs.
Clearly, you and cars do not get along.
I realized last night whilst talking to my husband, I've been hit by 4 cars and 1 motorbike in my life.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
I don't know.
You got me beat.
But you've done really well by someone who's been hit by cars.
I know. Like, when life nine lives. Cars, make lemonade.
Yes. Question. How happy were you that there was a design challenge for the first episode?
Oh, I lived. I was very happy.
I just liked it. It was like, just be creative. And we're just going to like run a challenge.
I would love a drag show that every week was a design challenge.
I mean, you don't always have to be a seamstress to be a drag queen. Like you have to, there are other skills, but I do think it
was
kind
of what. Call me mother shows
that. Hey.
I just think it's important to make sure that the queens are coming in with the ability to at least style something, you know, and it's not just like
With this design challenge specifically, it seems like a little less like make something from absolutely nothing and like also use, it looks like there was like garments that they could like deconstruct and like turn into something else from what
I also
see.
Think
so
it's
I feel
also
like that's giving
nice.
Everyone a little bit more of a chance. Yeah. I really love this challenge because my Ottawa girl Isis was in it and it was the perfect amazing. Challenge for her because she's
amazing,
so good at designing. And she like she did us proud. She's so proud. Like I
was stunning.
I adore this girl. And like it was I didn't get to go to the viewing party, but at our local bar Lookout, home of Isis Couture, there was a viewing party and like I saw like just footage on Instagram stories of people like reacting to her and like everyone was screaming. I've never heard that play so loud. I could feel it from my house. And it's a very, very special time for me and for Ottawa, I think, because I feel like it's like Isa said in her Meet the Queens thing, like we're a small group of girls, but we're a strong group. Mm-hmm. And finally, like, you know, somebody from Ottawa on the show.
Even on the show, she was like, who knew Ottawa had drag? Like she even said it like on the show. And then, but like good drag too. I mean, she does kind of have Raven's face, but I do think that her entrance look was pretty strong. And this outfit was pretty strong. I didn't like it. It wasn't like my fave, but... No, I mean, like, I just thought...
Her paint, though, I think, like, she's always had that paint. Like, she was one of the first drag queens I ever saw when I started going out when I was young, dumb, full of cum. So when I was first started going out to clubs when I was, like, really young, I was 19, she was one of the first queens. I think she was the first queen I saw. And, like, she was painting that huge, really, the future of drag sort of style of makeup. From during a time when everyone was just painting really fishy, she was always like really ahead of stuff, and she's so unique. And I can't wait for you guys to see what she brings because I know she's gonna kill it.
I'm very excited.
She's one to watch. Yeah.
Also, I love what's her name, the Asian queen,
Suki Doll.
Suki Doll.
Love her.
So
Suki.
Good.
Oh my God. The fashion on Suki.
And her personality to match. Like her personality is so fun. I love her.
Yeah. I mean, from her entrance look to the design, I think she is a strong contender for sure.
Zaddy, what did you
I was going to say that personally, she won that runway for me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Me too.
I don't personally agree with the winner. I think the outfit was incredible, and I like that sort of that style of couture for me is wonderful and incredible. But I don't think it was the best on the runway.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean,
maybe if Suki hadn't tripped,
yeah,
maybe.
It, if we get down to like,
they said that she didn't use as much of the co-check items, like as much as they wanted her to. So the things like that, I think, can like, that's what I'm learning in the competition I'm in, like little things.
She just sewed a fabulous garment and like,
it was like,
and she's like, I'm just going to make something beautiful.
It was super red carpet.
Oh, she did.
Super red carpet, but yeah, not quite the items and such. Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, she's fabulous. But I have to say, I really like her. I can't wait to see more of her.
Yeah.
Super strong showing from the first episode. I'm so excited. I'm full of emotions. I feel like they're good personalities on this on this season. Also, there's a lot of geographic diversity from Canada. And also like a lot of different backgrounds, you know, like people are, you know, we have a Latina queen from like Quebec, which is like layers on layers. We have a Greek queen, like everyone is different, and I'm loving it. I'm loving it.
Couple Black queens, couple Asian queens. Thank goodness. Yeah, we commented on it last week a little bit.
There's also non-binary representation. We haven't had those conversations yet. I mean, they haven't had it on the show, but I was looking on people's Instagrams and like, so there's more.
Yeah, but already more diverse than a lot of seasons we've seen recently, internationally and in the US. So that's cool. That's great.
Represents Canada.
Yeah. And Beth and Gia. Lip sync to Maneater, great song. I hated Gia's look.
Great song,
so
boring
much.
Lip sync.
Really?
Boring lip sync.
I was not into Gia's look. And I would have been more forgiving.
I thought it was good.
I loved Gia's look.
It was
look.
Fine.
I did not like Gia's look.
It was very like,
absolutely, it was devoid of red carpet
like
vibes.
Nickelodeon.
And
not
here's
red
the
carpet.
Thing.
Maybe, I liked it, but not
maybe
red
I could have been more forgiving if
it was
her personality
MTV Awards
had not
red carpet.
Totally driven me away. I thought it was a lot to take.
She came in cocky and they wanted to humble her.
Right,
and it was very cool from production, but
they
did it anyway.
I would say there's some trade vibes of this season.
There's a lot
out
of
drag.
There's a lot of trade.
Gia is one, so Canada. I'm glad to see her around a little longer.
Yeah. Kendall Gender.
Kendall. Oh my God.
Oh, Kendall Gender.
I loved her interview line when she said, not Kendall Jenner, not the 5'10 supermodel. You got a 6'1" instead. I was like, you better.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? Like, I'm sorry, but you know, Black people.
Yeah. Bringing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That melanin.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good. It does you well.
Speaking of Black people, I love Ocean Aqua Black. Like,
oh my
her personality
God.
Is so fucking fun. Like,
her look was not like, I can't say it was my favorite, but it was a lot of fun. And I loved it.
She can do whatever she wants. I want more.
She's great. I love her.
The talking the head. Like,
she's a lot of fun.
I don't make posts about, just from like a business perspective, I usually don't make any posts about any of the contestants as it's going along because I don't want to show any favoritism and I basically want them all to spend money with me.
Mm-hmm.
So Oceana was the first one I made a post about and it was like, we need to protect her at all costs because
100%.
She just, the way in which she just doesn't, she just doesn't take anything too seriously. She's like, I'm here to entertain. Like, I'm not going to sit here and be like, I'm an incredible artist, yada, yada, yada. No, she's an incredible entertainer.
Absolutely.
And I'm here for it.
That there's something about that to me that's just kind of like, yeah, great, cool.
I'm in love with her. I'm in absolute love with her. And I don't care about the look.
It's not a beauty competition. It's not a beauty competition. It's an entertainer competition. No, I knew I would love her from like the get. Just her smile, her energy. It's magnetic. Like she's a superstar. Okay, we need to talk about UK before we run out of all time. Okay, Nick, please give us, just get on to the recap.
Oh, you got it. Hot babes, do you remember what happened last week on the RuPaul show, darling? Oh no, they got rid of two of the girls. Gloria Hall, Brown Eyewitness News. This is the whole story. Last week, we lost Victoria Scon due to her injury and Veronica Green due to her difficult turnaround time into season 3. Emma Bunton is the special guest, and that can only mean one thing. The girl group song challenge. Will it be as iconic as Ding Dang Dong, or will it be Ding Dang Wrong? Scarlett and Vanity play team captains, and Chariza is last pick, but thank goodness she doesn't say the obligatory, "This is just like elementary school" line. But there's a twist. There are two versions of the song Big Drag Energy, and Scarlett will assign who gets what, but they will all write a custom verse and style their look. Scarlett's team, the Slice Girls, take the upbeat, and Vanity's team, Pick a Mix, gets the ballad. Then a bunch of people called the Steps arrive to help the dolls along. We carry on to the main stage where RuPaul looks fun, bright, and retro, but let's watch some girl groups. The Slice Girls look phenomenal, and my favorite verses were from Crystal Versace and Kitty Scott Claus. Pick a Mix looks more cohesive but less impressive, but I'm feeling the late 90s vibe hard, and that is a gag. My favorite verses were from River Medway and Chariza May. On the runway, category is Night of a Thousand Spice Girls. My newsworthy looks came from actual baby Crystal Versace as baby, Charity Case as a wild take on scary, River Medway as ginger, and Chariza May as super ginger. Pick a Mix is the winning team, and each girl gets a repeater badge. Charity and Scarlett end up in the bottom two and lip sync to the Spice Girls' "Who Do You Think You Are?" And it's a double Shantae, bitch! I'm actually really pumped because I don't want to see either one go just yet. Goopity gag. 8 girls continue to remain. These songs were not as iconic as previous UK girl group challenges, and that's the whole story.
Let's talk about the elephant in the room. Was that really a double, Shantae?
Yes.
A double?
Was the lip sync a double Shantae?
Maybe not based on the lip sync, but based on who they are, yes.
Yeah. I can
however... However, again, if you listen to Veronica's the podcast that she did with Tia Coffey, obviously with Victoria Scone going home, if they didn't double save at any point, they would have not had enough girls going forward.
I think that they had a double save in their back pocket, but I didn't know if this was the moment to use it.
Veronica says... She was like, well, why didn't they just use it the same episode?
Right.
Why didn't they double Shantae Veronica and who was she lip syncing against last week?
It was Veronica and I've completely forgotten. She was the team captain of Pick a Mix.
Oh yes, Vanity Milan.
Yes.
In that disastrous rope dress.
To be fair, if anyone who's going up against Vanity, they're not going to win. But yeah, I personally think they should have used the double save that week and not this week.
I mean,
I would have liked that a lot too. But then,
Anyway, sorry. I don't like a fake double Shantae. I want like a real one.
Yeah, but I mean, would it not have felt that the same way in the same episode? I think even more so, it would have felt that way if they said, "Oh, we might lose two girls this episode because we just lost Victoria." I think it would have felt even cheaper.
I also low key love when RuPaul was like, "That was a bad lip sync. You both go."
Can you imagine? See, but I do love Veronica Green, and it makes me sad to see. To have her go already.
So. Here's my thing, is the lip sync that could have been Veronica and the two of them staying, that week, neither of them did drastically terribly in the challenge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They were both okay, but they weren't drastically terrible.
Yeah.
This week, one of them completely forgot the words that they wrote.
Yeah.
Completely. And that's bad.
And the other one didn't really know what was happening on stage at the time. They were just kind of there.
Yeah.
And then came out as a cat rather than, you know, so the assignment was a little bit off.
Girl. It wasn't Spice Girls, for sure.
Yeah, it was a double save for this one.
I think it would have been Scary Spice if she had had hair.
Maybe.
If she'd at least done like the nod to Scary Spice, and it would be like Scary Spice during Halloween. Like if she just had leaned it.
I still loved her look, and I feel like she was being true to herself.
Oh, true. I'm a big Charity fan, So I liked the look, but they really, I don't know, they keep telling her what they do to some other queens sometimes, where it's like, hey, we love you and what you're doing, now stop doing that.
No, yeah. I think this is another one of those situations where the judges do not like Charity. They do not.
Right.
Like, it's like she could come out in her most expensive, beautiful garment and they'd be like,
And they'd be like, well, it's a little standing out.
I keep looking at her and I'm like, you should be on Dragula. Like, it's like, it's being wasted on Drag Race.
Here's my weird bent. And I don't know if I'm personally getting a little bit like conspiracy theory about this. But every time they bring an artist onto the show that is not the type of drag that they portray to the world is the best type of drag, they never do well. And there's always this storyline of them beating them down, beating them down, beating them down. And then eventually they try something different and then they go home.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh,
yeah,
like Ginny Lemon. Yeah. Joe Black.
Milk.
Milk.
Who? Milk, yeah.
They did the same sort of thing for Trixie originally. And then there's always that. And it kind of feels like, again, I don't know if this is just me being conspiracy theorist. It's their kind of way of being like, this is the kind of drag that won't do well in the Olympics of drag.
Yeah.
It's okay, drag.
But
if you want to be a star, this is not what you want to be. And it's almost like they place her there as something to tear down.
Also like Jimbo.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I will say this about Charity Case. You could not walk out on stage when everyone else was wearing like white and glitter in a picnic blanket with tiny rhinestones.
Right. Or like use one of your teammates' outfits that are silver or white. I was like,
beg, borrow, and steal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I was like, you can't. And also she was wearing a black wig and everyone else's wig was blonde.
In the workroom, and they kept it in the edit, they had a conversation around the table where she said, I only have this. And then I forget which one it was, but one of the other queens said, that's fine. As long as we all wear some blue, it will tie together. Then when they come out on the stage, no one else was wearing blue.
Yeah.
So they really threw her under the bus.
In the edit, it's them saying, hey, we'll tie this all together. And then it just doesn't happen.
Yeah, the edit sounds like it's really affects a lot. Like,
it really does. Yeah.
Now it's kind of, it's hard to hear, to be honest.
RuPaul is now saying blame it on the edit with the song, so it's not the edit's fault.
No, I just think that like they should not, whoever was dealing with the styling should have made her wear a blonde wig.
Yeah, that could have helped.
And that would have tied it in together just a little bit more.
Yeah, because like, it's blue, but it was like pale and it was like light and like sparkly. Like I didn't think actually, like if you kind of blur your eyes a little bit, like it doesn't stand out too much. It's not like, but with maybe like blonde hair or something like that.
It just would have tied it together a little bit.
Yeah. Lightened it up.
Now, so I have to say that the UK's singles have always done better than the other franchises. Mm-hmm. You know, we had UK Han, we had Something Goodbye.
Break Up Bye-Bye.
Oh yeah.
Break Up Bye-Bye. Thank you. So this is like a major episode. Like this could make them famous worldwide. Mm-hmm. And I think that BDE was like an okay song, but the ballad performance was money. Like that was one of the best things I've seen from like Drag Race UK. It was so cute. I think Elle of a Day finally shone the way that she wanted to shine.
Yes.
I think
everyone
individually during that challenge just brought it with the lyrics. River Medway finally was like glowing again. Like this is how I want to see these queens for like the rest of the season.
So I was in the original casting of Gals Aloud with Kitty. So Kitty's like debut in drag was in Gals Aloud with me on a stage where we re-performed an entire Girls Aloud concert on a smaller stage. And we did all of the high energy numbers and they were cute, they were okay. But we then did the ballad, I'll Stand By You, and we all got these 5-pound cheap ass fucking silver glittery dresses that were held together around your neck by a little chain. And we're standing there, and they do this move where they put their hands up in front above their head in sort of like a V. And at that point, simultaneously, all five of our dresses, the chains broke, and they slowly sliding down.
No way. Oh God.
Just as this ballad went on, revealing our nipples.
And oh my God.
It became the most iconic part of that night was because we also did this thing where we stood in the audience, and whenever it got to the chorus, we just stood next to someone and sang to them, "I'll Stand By You," and then we would swap with these dresses slowly getting lower and lower. Cute. And I think that eventually they just turned into pencil skirts. But
that is so like, iconic.
You should have known going into this that the ballad, in terms of drag, is going to come out more iconic.
Mm-hmm. Because it's more dramatic, you know what I mean? And like, you know, you can have more fun with it. They're more small moments.
Some of the best drag I've ever seen is the drag that taps in at 100% the roots of just cheese.
Mm-hmm.
When you go, let's take what ballads used to be and how cheesy they used to be.
Yeah.
And
Celine
literally
Dion,
hug
you know?
Each other on stage. Like queer people eat that shit up. We love it.
And you can 100%. Tell. Oh, sorry. Yeah. In the rehearsal process too, in the episode, the ballad team was having more fun.
Yeah.
And having actually a joyful time. And it's like, hello, that is what's going to help the creative spirit more than who's in charge. Well, maybe we should do this. They were having fun, and it was, it was nice to see it fit their mood. I think that it worked out that they won.
I'm really glad that this episode really helped us see like Kitty Scott Claus's talents, like as they should be seen.
She kind of won the episode.
She's an incredible human being.
Yeah.
An incredible human.
I love watching her. She's so like joyful. And I love that.
She deserved to win had she not been on the team that was in the bottom.
But this is the same thing that happened last week with the exercise challenge. She killed it. She just, you know, isn't being noticed for it. You know what I mean? She was like, they're like, we've never seen someone to be so happy in the bottom because she didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
She kind of won the episode in a lot of ways. She was so sweet talking to Emma, and it was really cool to see.
Yeah.
Really made me happy.
Kitty has, I'm trying to think when we started up Girls Aloud now. I left the group after the first night. For reasons that we don't need to go into, but but that was maybe, I've been here for 4 years, so that was maybe like 5.5 years ago. Mm-hmm. So for 5.5 years, Kitty has been performing with 4 other people on a stage and learning how to still be visible.
Yeah, it's like her, Cheryl Hole, and a couple of people.
Cheryl Hole, Ophelia Love. So the 4 of us were a group originally.
Cuteness.
It's not.
No, was that the first time you quit drag?
No. The first one I quit drag was when I was in Canada. So, oh my God, you're gonna make me tell this story now. So basically, Sunshine, if you didn't know, I quit drag like 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. I didn't know you did drag. This is news for me from this podcast. Yeah,
I try not to promote it. I try not to promote it. And
but your drag is so good.
Thank you. But I can't wait to see you. I don't really, if you do need to see it, the link is in my
Wigzaddy bio.
So you can go that way. Yeah. But I personally never want my drag to be associated with Wigzaddy.
Right.
Okay. Gotcha. Sure.
I don't even tag Wigzaddy whenever I do myself a wig. Like I
it's
never
a brand.
Want
you have
I
two brands and you do them well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I tried to give up drag the first time, like 2-ish years ago, and I sort of made an announcement at a bar here that I wasn't doing it anymore to a couple of artists. And then I all of a sudden got the busiest I've ever been, and I was doing 7 shows a week, sometimes 8, sometimes 9, for about, I think it went on for about 6 months, where everyone was like, well, this is the last chance we're going to get her, so we're all going to book her now. And I was in Niagara, I was in Ottawa, I was everywhere, I was just like constantly going around, and I was like, well, I guess I can't give up.
Because
this is bringing me money. So now I've actually given up. I'm trying to keep it under the radar, where I've just started removing photos from Instagram so that people don't pay too much attention to it. And I'm just not really, I'm not announcing it. Just whenever someone says, hey, can I book you? I'm like, no, I'm a bit too busy right now. And I just, just pretend I haven't quit, but I've quit.
Right, right.
Aww. Oh my God. This is,
so
we'll,
why?
We'll see if it lasts. We'll see if it lasts.
So why?
Why?
Canada, for burlesque, because I mostly spent my time in the burlesque industry in Canada, and then the smaller bars, you kind of have to travel a lot with that. And I remember I gave up my day job to pursue Wig Saddy full time when I realized that I was too busy to have two jobs. What I didn't realize at the time is I actually had three because drag was one.
Yeah, right.
And now I'm too busy to pursue drag as a career. And I'm a hobbyist when it comes to drag.
Right. Yeah.
Well, so, keep it as a hobby. It's a great,
and that's beautiful.
Yeah, I like to take cosplay. Photos. I know, that's the thing I love the most. I like just being a hot guy in drag. You know,
which is what that. You are. Don't deny these
that's
urges.
That's a good track. Yeah.
So I'm just doing that. I have a studio now with like a clothing rack and a glam station. I can just fucking do it against a white wall in my own time.
Yeah.
Get out of it. Like this morning I did a photo shoot and I started at 10 and I was done by, I think it was 10:35.
Yeah.
And then like, job done. Post a photo, people like it, done.
So clearly when we come to visit the studio, we're going to do a photo shoot.
Absolutely. It's all here.
Yes, please. Like,
I want to come.
Yes, please.
I know. Like 14 different ring lights. There's glam stations. There's dress up stuff.
There's lycra suits.
There's spandex. It's all
here. Okay. I have to say something.
Mm-hmm.
For the people that dressed up as baby, no one actually looked innocent. So I feel like they didn't capture that. For Jerry, no one was voluptuous, which was Jerry's trademark. And then for Scary, no one really captured that like badass black girl energy, which I think
the energy,
Scary
right,
always
he was
had.
Rising for the Scary Spice looks. Yeah.
Even though,
I mean, and
now
Vanity's
that I think about
Scary
it,
was Tiger with a corset over it, honey. I just want to be too hard on anybody.
I just think that they didn't really capture what each Spice Girl's energy was, and no one did posh.
Nobody was posh.
How did you? How,
that's come like, on, that's got to be the easiest thing. I mean, because it's some gorgeous
Gucci dress, my little Gucci
little
dress,
dress,
or my little, or Gucci, little Gucci dress.
Oh man, my third grade teachers knew I was gay before I did because I was saying, "Can we play Spice Girls today during quiet time?"
Oh my God. So my dad was a firefighter growing up. And one time he was like on the front cover of the newspaper.
Yeah.
And it was a big picture of him. And then, but in the top corner, in the tiny little like top corner, there's a picture of Baby Spice. And my parents are like trying to show me like, look, it's your dad in the newspaper. And I'm like, Baby Spice! So excited. So but they've never let me forget that. And yeah, I guess that's when they knew I was gay.
Yeah. But also, can we just say, the Spice Girls released two albums. That's it.
Isn't that insane?
And they are,
oh wow,
they are superstars. Two albums. Yeah. And they released the second album and then broke up.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Jerry left to do solo. And then it was just the four of them for a minute. And then
I'm sorry.
No, sorry.
There was a third album, but no one was paying attention when it happened.
Because that was the four. Yeah. That wasn't
when
the
there was
full
four of them.
Spice rack, you know?
Yeah. But like they released very little music, but they released hit after hit after hit after hit. It was,
I think, every
Eat Your Heart Out, Beatles.
Every song on their album, and I'm pretty sure they are the only pop group to have ever done it, that every song on their albums was released as a hit.
Oh wow! Yeah,
that's
sense.
Incredible.
Oh, you mean the first album, Spice Girls?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, Mama, that's I huge. Love you.
Usually, there's always at least one, two, three, or four songs from someone's album that has never been released as a single. Whereas the Spice Girls, every single one that they've ever done has been released as a single.
I mean, they were so phenomenal. They made a movie after releasing one album.
very campy, hilarious.
We deserve a movie.
And that movie is drag. One of the best things I've ever seen.
Well, it fully is. Alan Cumming.
Did I tell you last time that me and Sybil did, they do a thing called the Spice Girls Tour Bus in the UK, where they get 5 buses and they hire 10 drag queens to dress up as the Spice Girls. Me and Sybil did it 1 year, and I was, we were on the same bus, which was, I put Sybil, who's a 7-foot fucking man,
exactly,
on
a huge bus,
and asked him was to she stand baby? Up. She was posh.
Oh, I love it. In a little Gucci dress.
She was posh Spice, and we both did the Say You'll Be There video. So she did a black onesie, and I did Sporty from the Say You'll Be There video.
Oh, love it. Lovely.
They do a full tour bus thing where the buses follow the same route that the bus does in the movie.
You all stop at the stairs
of the cathedral, you all get out and you pose on that, and then you end off. I don't think this year it ended at a bar because of COVID, but before it would end at a bar, and then there'd be like a Spice Queens sort of performance thing.
Say You'll Be There.
But that movie was so camp and iconic that queer people were like, let's just turn it into a thing and make money on it without asking anyone.
I feel like I just haven't lived in London because I've never been to a gay bar or queer space. And
oh, then you haven't lived. I haven't.
I just hide at my godmother's house, and we just like sit and drink tea and watch, you know, soap operas. But like, I need to like go and be like, no, we're not. I'm here for the queers. So yeah,
I am
going out.
The poster child for what the London queer scene can do to a gay person. Because when I was living at home, I was like the kind of gay that was just shrouded in internal homophobia, where you would judge drag queens for being too femme and it all of the wrong things. And then I went to I moved to London, and a friend of mine who had already been up there for years in theater school took me out to a drag bar, and I stood there and we went to the RVT.
Oh,
okay. RVT. Cabin. I don't know what it was, but I just stood there for like 3 hours smiling, and I was like, oh my God, I'm not gay. I'm queer.
Get on the train.
And then I met Sybil, and you know, life went downhill. But
the mother-daughter relationship is always turbulent.
Very, very quickly. But yeah, like you need to experience the London gay scene and just how
one of these days.
Oh, I'm going.
Weird
I'm
it
going.
Is in all the best ways.
Don't try and kick me out.
You want to go to Tottenham? You want to go East End?
That's very much my. I live in Brooklyn, so you know.
Well, that's where Sybil started drag in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. And then she's sort of created the Brooklyn vibe in the East End. So that's, you want to go to the East End. That's where you want to go.
That's very much my vibe. I can't with like mainstream stuff.
It's very different in like, I noticed a huge difference between like East London and then like Soho and some of the other places. Like East is like a bit more out there.
Soho is just sequins and singers. That's all it is.
And singers.
Everything.
None of them seem to make it on Drag Race, unfortunately.
Well, you'd think that Scarlett is a Soho queen.
Actually, if you look at her drag, on her Instagram, it's very different from what she's showing on the show.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. She.
She's like selling herself as this like Cockney queen, but like, she's a glam. Glam.
She mostly performed at a place called the Duke of Wellington, which is in Soho. And she's a live singer, and she dresses in glam, and she entertains that way.
So remember how she looked so pretty during that design challenge? That's normally how she looks. I don't know why she's been painting herself like she doesn't know how to do makeup. Maybe she's planning on having like a fake glow up, but like normally she looks stunning.
Yeah.
Well, we've all been lied to before. It's called TV. but honestly, we could talk to you for hours because you are both just the best people. But unfortunately, I don't think...
Oh, I love you too.
I don't think people will listen to a 2-hour podcast. But that being said,
It's been such a pleasure. We do believe in fervent, passionate, consensual stalking of all of our guests. So where can people find you, stalk you, lift you up in a consensual manner online?
Sunshine Glitter Child on all of them. I'm the only one. So if you just type in sunshine, my name will pop up anywhere pretty much.
Including TikTok.
Yeah. I'm so bad at TikTok. I like after like my few viral videos, I've like a bunch of followers, but like I just don't know what to do with it. I feel like too old for like TikTok. It's tough. 29.
Cough.
what do you mean?
Too old for TikTok.
Well, the things that stay popular on TikTok are things that I have no interest in doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I keep getting bullied into TikTok by Juicebox. He recently bullied me back into doing TikTok, and I watched a video and I was just like, I can't be bothered to do this anymore. Yeah. Like,
it takes a long time. My drag sister is like a goddess on TikTok. Like, she's very successful at it. She has like 500K. She's making dollar bills, y'all.
It's so much work.
I just can't do that.
It's like, I'm standing here and now I'm in full glam. I'm standing here and now I'm in full glam. I'm lip syncing. It's just so
definitely
hard.
Become an art form, I think. Yeah. An art form of its own content.
Yeah.
But it definitely, there is a learning curve. And yeah. It is one that I'm like, can I add this to my plate?
No.
Well, so apparently the big thing at the minute is like wig styling TikToks. But that's a 4-hour process.
Yeah. For a video less than a minute long that you hope does well.
People like looking at the process oriented stuff, but like it takes so long and then you have to edit it and then it's going to like, if they don't like it, the letdown. Oof. So Zaddy, where can people find you?
And if you're looking to find me, it's just Wig Zaddy on all the different platforms. Yeah.
And there's some other ones, but we won't talk about them. but thank y'all. You know what? I think the moral of today is, let's all stop getting hit by cars and
let's be careful going down steps, you know.
And also if you don't want to hook up with someone, just kick them out of your house.
This is why I don't hook up with people in bars.
Oh, I want to go back to hooking up in bars.
Yeah.
I
miss that.
I try to have sex with my friends. I mean, not like, you know, I've sex with my friends. I don't like the random stuff that much.
Yeah.
I love random stuff and I love hooking up with people that it's why I like things.
If the vibe is there, sure. Yeah.
I like the sort of dating app thing because you get to go, so what are you into? How's this going to go? Rather than two people having a conversation.
Yeah, a nice efficiency to it.
For 45 minutes, you know?
But then half the time you meet up and then there's like zero chemistry in person. And then it's just like, I mean, my experience with it, at least I like, I'm perfectly okay these days with like either of us, like being like, we get there, like, no, I'm not feeling this. Like, let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Home.
And hey, that's happened. Look. Sure.
We just went through a year and a half of what, for most people, if they weren't married, like our friend, Wig Zaddy, was a dry spell. So if you want to get it however you can and make sure it's consensual. That is the moral of this episode. We'll see you next week, y'all. Bye.
Bye. XOXO.
Whispering Hunties is not endorsed by World of Wonder, VH1, Viacom, Great Canada, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. RuPaul's Drag Race and Canada's Drag Race and all names, pictures, and audio clips are registered trademarks and or copyrights their respective copyright holders.
Thanks for listening to the Apocalypse Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, go to apocalypsepodcastnetwork.com. And remember, every time you support one of our sponsors, you're supporting the podcast you just heard.